A week from today, the federal government will execute Timothy McVeigh for the murders of 168 people in the 1995 bombing of the Alfred Murrah Building in Oklahoma City. The last federal execution, 38 years ago, was a hanging, so the Bureau of Prisons has had to develop new procedures for lethal injection. Part of the preparation has involved visiting states with experience in capital punishment. NPR's John Burnett reports from Austin, Texas.
A few years after the federal death penalty was reinstated in 1988, the government built its new death chamber in a two-story windowless cell block on the grounds of the U.S. Penitentiary at Terre Haute, Indiana. There's no universal how-to manual on capital punishment, so Warden Harley Lappin visited several death chambers around the country to learn how to execute. His final visit was 3 months ago to Huntsville, Texas, site of the busiest death house in the country. There have been 246 executions since capital punishment resumed in Texas in 1982. Larry Fitzgerald is a spokesman for the Texas Department of Criminal Justice.
They witnessed an execution. They met with the people on the tie-down team, the people on the IV team, those people. It's my understanding that they pretty much took the Texas experience home with them.
Every state's nightmare is a botched execution while the world watches, and Texas has had its share. In 1988, an IV popped out of an inmate's vein, spraying prison witnesses with lethal chemicals. In 1992, it took the execution team 47 minutes to insert the needle in the arm of a condemned prisoner who was a former drug user. Finally, he had to help them find a vein. Larry Fitzgerald, who estimates he's witnessed about 150 executions, says the procedures have improved inside and outside the chamber. He says one of the most important lessons officials have learned, and one they passed on to the federal warden, is do nothing to disturb the condemned inmate in his final hours.
Just because it's easier on the inmate, it is easier on our officers. We have a rule when the inmate finally arrives to the death house that we answer any and all questions that the inmate has. We try to meet his every request. We try to fill those requests. If he wants to talk to family by phone, we do that. You want to keep the inmate as calm as possible. We don't want to do a cell extraction. We try to avoid that at all possible costs.
Timothy McVeigh is not expected to put up any resistance when he's led into the execution chamber next Wednesday morning. He has rejected all appeals and declined to request presidential clemency. The U.S. Bureau of Prisons has planned extensively so that his death sentence will, quote, be carried out in an efficient and humane manner. Dan Dunn is a spokesman for the Bureau.
One of our primary focuses that we've had to make sure that it occurs in an appropriate and a professional manner and while showing respect, dignity, and compassion. I think that the procedures that Texas was able to show us gave us some additional insight that we needed in order to ensure that we were able to finalize the planning regarding our execution plan at Terre Haute.
The result of the Bureau's execution tutorial is a 56-page document titled The Execution Protocol. It's supposed to address every imaginable issue that could arise. For instance, all crank calls to the prison should be recorded and traced. The last meal may be ordered from the prison kitchen or from a Terre Haute restaurant, not to exceed $20. The condemned may not be an organ donor. And the warden will indicate the execution should commence with the words, "We are ready." The longest chapter in the protocol deals not with the execution, but with the media. Some 1,600 members of the press have registered to cover McVeigh's execution, including 200 from foreign countries. But with more than 850 local, state, and federal law enforcement personnel assigned for duty on execution day, the Prison Bureau's Dan Dunn says, "We're ready for anything." John Burnett, NPR News, Austin.